Sports Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Hey, happy draft day 2025. Round one of the NHL draft goes on this Friday, June 27th. Rounds two through seven, go Saturday, June 28th. From the Scotiabank Saddledome, our 2025 NHL Draft headquarters, it's Flames Talk. Pat Steinberg along with you. Lots happening around the NHL on this Friday, ahead of the first round, including, as we get things going, Sam Bennett has just signed an eight-year extension with the Florida Panthers. We've seen a significant trade in the NHL, a few other trades in the NHL on this Friday, and we've got a lot to dive into as we say hello right now to our NHL insider, Frank Saravalli. Frank going to join us for a bonus hit on this Friday ahead of the first round of the NHL draft. And let's say hello to Frank right now from Daily Faceoff and dailyfaceoff.com on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Frank, happy draft day. How are you on this Friday?
I am scrambling. I'm hoping that I can keep my ADD in check to get through a conversation with you, but it's been very busy today.
Well, you already in the last 10 seconds have tweeted out Sam Bennett's 8x8 contract extension. So we'll get to that very, very shortly. But Frank, just breaking that news, an 8-year extension for Bennett and the Florida Panthers, $8 million on the AAV. So you're already batting 1,000, my friend. Let's start with this. Let's start with Rasmus Anderson here in Calgary. It is Friday, June 27th. As we're talking, we're about an hour away from the NHL draft beginning, the first round of the NHL draft getting going. As we are speaking right now, where do things stand on Rasmus Anderson and what's happening with the Flames defenseman?
I think the Flames have been actively engaged in talks around the league about Rasmus Anderson. Not a surprise. At this exact moment in time, less than an hour from the start of the draft, I don't have any indication that something is close to the finish line, which also probably isn't a huge surprise. Like, I don't think it was dependent on getting it done tonight. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different ways that the Flames can go about this. And I think there's been a couple different teams that have been engaged in the last 24 to 48 hours, but nothing entirely close at the moment.
Timeline. And I know we talked about this when we chatted on Tuesday for our regular Flames Talk hit, but as you've pointed out, as Craig Conroy reiterated on Thursday when he spoke to the media here in Calgary, Frank, like, this does not have to, as you just said, doesn't have to get done on this Friday. It doesn't have to be completed before the draft ends on Saturday. Hell, you know, I don't even know if there is a significant amount of urgency to have this done before free agency opens on Tuesday if you're not getting the right deal.
Not even before the season starts.
Yeah.
And that's the honest truth, is not even before the season starts. I think this is, they could get it done today if they get their price. It's almost like we've got an idea in mind of what we're looking for Sam Bennett. You can hit the mark or we can keep him. And that's essentially how they've approached this from a true position of strength. The only problem is that this market at this exact moment in time is flush with defensemen. I mean, look at my trade targets board to start this morning. We had the number one player in Noah Dobson move, but seven out of the top 10 were all defensemen. Teams right now at this moment in time are banging their heads against the wall, trying to find impact top six forwards, let alone a center like the Calgary Flames are trying to chase. And it's been very difficult on that front. And as good as Rasmus Anderson is, yes, and he's a right shot guy, you also need to pay him. And yes, there's other options out there. Now with Dobson off the board, you still have Bowen Byram, who's a left shot. Like, there's all sorts of guys that you can get to plug in your top four that Calgary's dealing, at least on the defense market right now, with a bit of a crowded market.
What the Noah Dobson trade, as Montreal gives up a couple first-round picks, Emil Heinemann, to bring Dobson in from the New York Islanders. We'll get into what the Islanders are going to be doing with it. We'll get into the trade specifically in just a second, Frank, but what does that do in terms of setting a market or impacting in any way what the Flames might be doing or might be hearing when it comes to Rasmus Anderson? Like, how much does the Dobson trade impact Rasmus Anderson?
Honestly, I don't know that it does, because I think the truth is that the team that ended up getting him in the Montreal Canadiens, I don't think that they were really heavily in the defense market before Dobson presented himself. And they were only really willing to do it from a futures perspective. Like, they weren't really intrigued at giving up someone off of their roster. But I think the Canadians recognized what I was just talking about, which is that the market is so flush right now with defensemen. And there was this one moment in time with these picks that the Islanders can turn around and they're hoping to turn into James Higgins, that they seized a market inefficiency, is how I would frame it.
Yeah.
That they were able to bring in Dobson. And now when you consider Lane Hudson on the left side, you can play him with a right shot defenseman and then put like Mike Matheson on the left side, a defender to go with an offensive minded guy in Dobson. You've got a really nice top four. And frankly, if you're the Montreal Canadiens, your first two lines are probably going to be excellent up front. So the first two waves of an attack that you can throw at teams is going to be pretty daunting. And so they weren't like clamoring for a D-man. They actually have a lot of D-men and prospects on the way, but they saw this as a special opportunity to get a guy in a draft that I think a lot of teams are sitting here, Pat, going, we've got these picks, but we don't necessarily love the players.
Yeah. Anything else that you've got your eye or ear on when it comes to the Calgary Flames? Is there anything else that you're tracking, or is Rasmus Anderson and obviously what they do in the first round on Friday night, are those kind of it when it comes to what you're tracking on the Flames side of things?
Look, I think – I've said this a million times, if they have an opportunity in this draft to slide up to get a player they like, they're willing to do it. And in fact, a lot of the conversations that I've had with managers today, like, hey, what's going on out there? What are you hearing? And they go, I'm just getting lots of calls about my pick or picks, and teams are saying the same thing. Would you be willing to move up? Would you be willing to move down? We want to know and formulate our list, and the Flames are in that category of teams that are actively involved in that front.
Okay. He is Frank Saravalli. He is our Daily Faceoff NHL insider. He joins us once a week on Flames Talk, but on big weeks like draft week, joins us a couple times a week, joining us on this Friday ahead of the first round of the 2025 NHL draft. Okay. The Noah Dobson trade, you just broke it down really well in terms of how it all came to fruition. Take us through, because I think what Montreal is getting is quite obvious. Right shot, top pair defenseman, and now you're looking at Lane Hudson and Noah Dobson on your right side going forward. You're like, okay, that looks pretty sexy if you're Montreal. Tell us about the Islanders and what the challenge now becomes. You kind of clocked this even before the deal was made, that, hey, they're going to try to move Dobson, they're going to try to get picks, and they're going to try to turn those picks into Higgins. Well, part one is done. They traded Dobson for picks. Now what becomes the challenge of using those picks to try to get Long Island boy James Higgins into the organization?
Well, it's really going to depend on how this draft board shakes out. And that's not me couching it. We're less than an hour away, so I can give you an insight on what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
My understanding is that this board starts something like this: Schaefer to the Islanders, Michael Mesa to San Jose, and Anton Frundell to the Chicago Blackhawks. Then at four with the Utah Mammoth, it gets really interesting, because they've got a couple players on the board that are going to really impact the pieces after them. I know that there's a team after Utah that is really, really coveting Denoye. And if Denoye is off the board because he goes to Utah, then what's going to happen is you're going to see likely the Islanders try and trade up to that spot to get that player at that spot, because the team is going to say, hey, my guy was here. He's off the board. I'm going to slide down. I'm going to do something else. So that's my like relatively educated or some might even look at that and say elementary guesswork on what this is. But then there's some uncertainty too with some other teams. I think there's been a ton of consternation in Boston about what direction they go with their pick. Some teams are really locked in and like a guy, and other teams are like, eh, I could be sold. And some team tonight somewhere is really going to have to put on the face maybe of, man, I really, really want James Higgins. And we'll see what that reaction is like.
Okay.
Does any of that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely it does. And I am fascinated to see how that all plays itself out, and boy, it's a sexy marketing move for the Islanders. You got the number one overall pick, and then a guy that a year ago was kind of clocked to be the number one overall pick, oh, and just happens to be a really marketable guy that you can sell to your fans as a hometown guy. I mean, there's a lot to like about the way this shapes up for this Islanders group.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, they did give up a really good player today, and you're making some really big bets on the future, but some would argue that maybe this is exactly what the New York Islanders needed, is to kind of reboot and add some really young players to change over where they were at.
Okay. What did you make of the Charlie Coyle and Miles Wood trade to Columbus? As the Blue Jackets get some decent players, but you know, as significant for the Avalanche, they clear a ton of space. What was your reaction to that trade?
Sorry, can you ask me one more time? My ADD kicked in.
All good. Just your reaction to mostly Colorado clearing that space, moving Coyle and Wood to Columbus.
Yeah, look, Colorado has a lot of things that they want to accomplish, and I think they were a little bit hesitant to give up Coyle because they did give up a lot to get him, and I think they really liked the idea of their center position being McKinnon, Nelson, and then Coyle. It's a really formidable 1-2-3, but they're up against it with the cap, and their defense is really, I think, lacking at times. And so I think what they're going to try and do is take that cap space and devote it to Ryan Lindgren, or at least another defenseman. And they had to make some kind of move to free up flexibility. So it's not just getting off of Coyle. That was big. It was four more years of Miles Wood. That's miles and miles of wood. And yeah. They now clear off $7.75 million in space. And that's going to go a long way in helping just rebalance the rest of this roster.
Mm-hmm. John Tavares re-signs in Toronto for four more years. A pretty palatable cap hit for Tavares, hey?
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting in structure because it's deferred. At least some part of it is, to help shorten that AAV, which is now also going to be outlawed in the new CBA. So that contract gets in, obviously, before that happens and kicks in 2026. And for the Leafs, if you consider their center position, having someone of Tavares' caliber at that cap hit, even if it's maybe 1 year too long, really puts them in a good spot. And he's so incredibly productive last year. He's transformed his game. And, you know, when you think about John Tavares that was dominating the league for a stretch, he was this incredible power forward. And since then, as his skating has slowed a bit, he transformed his game into being a quality net front presence. And that shift, I think, is going to allow him to continue to age really well.
Sam Bennett, you broke the signing there, pal. You broke the dollar figure, 8x8. He's the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. He's a 2-time Stanley Cup winner. He said that he's not going anywhere in their postseason parade. We're not surprised that Sam Bennett signs. But what'd you make of the 8x8?
I think it's probably about where I expected. It's more than the Panthers probably wanted to pay a couple months ago. We knew that Sam Bennett was going to be getting a massive raise with the Conn Smythe. And I think it's like an AAV less than what he could have gotten on the open market, probably by a little bit. But there's also the eighth year, and obviously everyone wants to talk about the state tax advantage that the Florida Panthers have. So, you know, it fits. It's not like crazy big to the point where Florida can't manage it. And they have a guy who's been such a big part of the fabric of their team that it was kind of hard to see with their cap space letting him go. So one down, probably one to go, not two. I would expect that Brad Marchand gets a new deal in Florida as well, and that they let Aaron Ekblad go to market on July 1.
Aaron Ekblad to market is the is kind of what you're feeling, hey? Which again, you know, it's not a trade target, but it just adds to the flooded right side defense conversation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And it's an interesting time to become a free agent. It really is.
Anything else before we let you go? And I know that you got a ton to do, so we'll keep it quick and let you roll here. Anything else that you're tracking or that people should have their eye on as we move into Friday night?
I mean, look, there's a lot from the draft order that I went through to free agents. And yeah, the trade market is still really percolating, and I think there's a lot happening that I wouldn't be shocked to see an Anderson deal develop in the next day or two. I really wouldn't, but we'll see. It's a pretty big chip that the Calgary Flames have, and no reason to fall into the trap of one moment in time where you just got excited.
Yep, 100%. Get out of here, Frank. Good luck this weekend. Hey, we'll be watching and appreciate the time on this Friday. You did well keeping it on the rails.
Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
You will indeed. Thank you, Frank. Frank Saravalli, he's our NHL insider from Daily Faceoff, dailyfaceoff.com, Amazon, and a whole lot more. He joins us here on Flames Talk on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.